Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah on Kaf Bet Amud Bet. We'll do our Refuah Shlemot. There's a new one at the list. Devora Batina, Oz Avram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmit Bat Ni'ima, Orli Panina Bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka, Esther Bat Zipora, Daniel Ben Miriam, Chaya Rut. Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah on Kaf Bet Amud Bet. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zchut Tola B'mayim Hamarim. Remember, we had the last Mishnah that if she has Zchuyot, which we said was Torah would be the zchut for her, and then we had a whole discussion about what kind of Torah, because she's not supposed to learn. The Mishnah said that the zchut is tolala, and then they said, well, that's why he teaches her Torah, right? And then from there they jumped to must be the schar of Torah, because it can't be the schar of mitzvah, because mitzvah is not enough to save her. So eventually we had this approach, which we said was a very complicated approach. Because the whole thing is, at that moment, we know, is she innocent or guilty? And we're going to have issues with that approach, because, interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't deal with it at all here. So that's why I'm just mentioning the issues here, is that if we say that, well, then she's supposed to, in theory, go back to her husband right after, because she's proven innocent. And that obviously complicates matters, if there might be a zchut that's tolala, and then we won't really know. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says, ein zchut tola b'mayim hamarim, there's no such thing. In other words, then they're going to be motzi shemra on all these women and say, well, it just might be that they have zchuyot, but they're really tmeot. And then we're going to mess up all these women who are actually innocent, and they won't be able to necessarily prove their innocence. Now, according to this, the other opinion, you probably have to wait, according to that opinion, right? There was 3 years. And only after 3 years would she be allowed to go back to her husband, which is very difficult. Rebbe Omer has chut tola b'mayim hamarim, ve'ena yoledet, ve'ena mashabachat, ela mitavna v'holechet. That she slowly, the situation gets worse and worse slowly. It's like a hidar derut. Okay. So she doesn't get pregnant, and lesof himeta botamita, and in the end she dies the same type death. It's the exact same thing happens to her. It's just a much more gradual process. I was actually thinking that this sounds a lot more painful for the woman. It's torture, because it's slow. First of all, she never gets really proven either which way, and then she slowly deteriorates. It's much worse than a sudden death, almost. Except that it's actually not, it's less embarrassing death, because it doesn't happen in the Beit HaMikdash. But it's a very strange opinion, the whole concept that it would basically, be delayed. And then how would that, I didn't really get it, and clearly the Gemara doesn't really relate to it much, and I didn't really understand fully, it needs definitely looking into more, what exactly happens at this point then. Because it says she doesn't get pregnant. Is she back with her husband? In other words, do we assume she's...
I was just going to ask you, what's this whole issue of getting pregnant? Because many people don't necessarily anyway, or it could be she's past it, or could be
right, that's
more children. And like,
that's true. Although, in theory, she's not supposed to go back to her husband. If she's not totally proven to Horas, then how could she go back to her husband?
Right, but we saw earlier that it's almost a test. She has to get pregnant within 3 months, and that'll confirm. But
right, and that might confirm.
What if she doesn't?
Right.
How are the children even?
That's just their assumption. They didn't have birth control, and they assumed that if you're having relations, you're going to conceive.
Right. It could be there was an assumption that you would conceive if you could have. But it's also not saying that it's proven at that point. It's just saying you won't get pregnant. It doesn't mean that you will get pregnant if not. It's not saying the opposite.
Right. But
although it did say that a sota is blessed by the fact that she gets pregnant immediately. Again, that's all
but
a matter of...
this, how can anyone go back to their husband?
Right. It's a big problem. I don't have a good answer to it. It needs looking into. I didn't have another chance to look into it further, but it definitely is a big problem. How do you relate to it?
I think it is implied the opposite.
Look
here,
it up more.
Because I think it's an answer to saying, how will we ever know an innocent woman? You can tell an innocent woman because she'll be pregnant right away. I think that's their answer to...
Their answer is she'll get pregnant right away if she's innocent, and therefore that will be your proof.
Right.
But again, how could she even go back to her husband if she is safek asura to him? Seems like
unless
she shouldn't be allowed to. And then obviously she's not getting pregnant. I mean, unless she's sleeping around, and then that would create more of a problem.
Well, obviously,
right.
Right.
But what Dana said, what you're saying is that if somebody that everybody goes back to their husband afterwards if they don't die right away.
Right, it seems that way, but it seems problematic.
Whoever is innocent, whoever doesn't get pregnant isn't innocent. That seems to be what.
Right, but it would be problematic to say that. I agree with you that that would be the thing, that people would all go back to their husbands, but it seems very problematic because how could you do that? You're not allowed to.
Seems also to go against the pshat of the Torah, which seems to be
right. It does also go against the pshat of the Torah.
It's an instantaneous thing.
Right. But it seems very difficult.
That it's only 3 months that this hold can only be, you know, aside from depending on how long a time period can be. So. Sounds like a way to encourage women to be meritorious. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, this needs further looking into. We'll leave it for today. If I have time, I'll look at it maybe for tomorrow. Okay, so what happens now? Okay. Rebbe Omer has chut olah b'maimarim ve'en yoledah. Okay, we read that. V'olecha l'sof yimeita b'otah mita. Nitmet minchata ad shelo kitsha b'kli. Now we're going to talk again about this mincha that they bring. If the mincha becomes tameh before it was nikdash b'kli, harehi kecholah menachot v'tipadeh. It's basically like a regular mincha. They got right. If it's before it became hekdesh in the kli, then it's like any other mincha. You separated it just like any other animal. You can be podeh the animal, podeh the mincha, right? Except the animal, we said once you're it gets kedushat aguf. But this is just, remember we said before it goes into the kli, it's only kedushat damim. So if it's only kedushat damim, then basically it means the value of it is kadosh, which means that you can switch it onto a coin, no problem. V'im shekidsha b'kli. But if it was nikdash in a kli already, once it goes into the kli sharet, then it's like all the other menachot, and it has to be burned. Okay, so now we're going to see a list of, okay, there's a lot of lists today, that's why I charted them out on the sheet. Ve'elu sheminchotehen nisrafot. Here are examples of where the mincha would be nisraf. So first it started out, and it started with nitmei tamincha. It becomes tameh. But now we're going to see it's not just it becomes tameh, but all sorts of other things can happen. Remember, you separate the mincha, but she doesn't always drink the waters. Remember, we have all these delay tactics, and there's other things that might prevent her from drinking the water. So in cases where she doesn't drink the water, the mincha obviously can't be sacrificed. And if it's at the point where it was already in the kli, the mincha, then we have to burn it. So what are the cases? Ha'omeret me'ani lecha. Okay, number one, she admits that she was tme'ah, in which case she doesn't drink the water. V'shebao la'edim shehi tme'ah. If edim came and said that she is tme'ah. V'ha'omeret, if you remember, there was a machloket about what if there are edim far away, right? If there's edim who know, but they're not actually here. So that's also a possibility, although it doesn't mention it here. V'ha'omeret eni shota. If she refuses to drink the waters. V'shebaala eino rotze lahashkota. What if her husband changes his mind and says, I don't want her to drink the waters? Now, here's interesting. Even if she wants to drink the waters to prove her innocence, she's not allowed to. Because the whole thing is that the husband brings her, and he suspects her, and he accuses her, and he brings upon the fact that she's supposed to drink the water. So if he changes his mind, then she can't drink the waters. V'shebaala ba'aleha baderech. Remember this thing? If he sleeps with her on the way, because the last pasuk in the section said, what's the whole pasuk? V'nika me'avon, right? What is it?
Since that is being forbidden to her.
Right. If you pass the Tanakh, I will find the pasuk. But he says in the very last pasuk in the section is, yeah, it's there too. Bamidbar hey. He will be clean of iniquity, and she will bear her sin. So, what's the issue here? The darshan, the he has to be nikah me'avon for this to work. If he did something inappropriate, like for example, once he accuses her and they're on the way, he cannot, right, once she's accused, the second shlav, he's no longer allowed to sleep with her after she was nistira with the man. So then, at that point, if he sleeps with her, then the sota waters no longer work. In which case, again, if the mincha was already set aside, right? Let's say they're on the way to the Beit HaMikdash. They have the mincha with them, right? It hasn't. So then, at that point, it would be nisraf. Although, at that point, what did we say? If it wasn't nikdash b'kli yet, then it would be nifdeh. So why would it be nisraf here? Right? Isn't that a good question? Why would it be burned if it hasn't been in the kli? Unless somehow you say that beforehand it was already in a kli kodesh.
Why would they even get
Right? Maybe they only found out later that this is what happened. Maybe. Second. Right, I don't know. Okay, fine. It's a possible question. But it would have to be that the mincha was already mikdash b'kli, I would assume, for it to be burned. V'chol ha-nisu'ot l'kohanim, minchotehen nisrafot.
So if this was discovered after the mincha was already sent.
Okay, fine. So that's what you'd have to assume. Thank you, Ruth. That it would have to be after it was already in the kli, and then they found out that he had slept with her baderach. You know, it could very likely be that he would have no idea. Right? It's almost like when you get to the mikveh and they start asking you questions and you say, oh, right, or I didn't know this. Okay?
But
so,
didn't they send two kohanim to accompany them on the way? So that
they sent chachamim, but yeah, let's say that case, there wasn't chachamim didn't take them. Maybe, I think there were two different opinions. There were two different opinions there about whether he needs the chachamim or not. So maybe they hold this, you know, you would have to say this is without the chachamim there, and then according to that opinion. Anyway. I think really what they're trying to highlight is just, I think another way to say this is, the mincha, they're saying elish minchotehem nisrefet, but it could very likely be that the Mishnah is just telling you cases, whether it's nisraf or it's nifdeh, these are cases where you'd have a problem, where the mincha was separated, it was set aside, whether it was nikdash or not, and now you have an issue with it, okay? And that could be ba'al abadar, in which case it would depend if it was in a kli or if it wasn't in a kli. If it wasn't in a kli, it would be nifdeh. If it wasn't a kli, it would be nisraf. Okay. V'chol ha-nisuot l'kohanim, minchotehen nisrafot. Okay, now we're going to learn a new halacha. Okay, you can look at the psukim on the sheet to just see where I put them. They're on the second side. Okay, on the second side of your sheet, the second set of psukim is from Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin. It says, "Minchol minchat kohen kalil lo te'achel." Any mincha that a kohen brings has to be burned. So we're going to learn now that there's two different types of minachot. There's a mincha that a regular person brings, and that we already learned what happened. The kohen does kmitza. He takes a part of it with his three fingers. He uses, right, there was a special way of doing it, a method where they took their pinky and their thumb, and they kind of scraped off all this stuff on the sides. And then they would take that, and they would burn that on the mizbeach. And then the shirayim, the kohen would be able to eat. So the kometz was burned on the mizbeach. The shirayim were able to eat. We're going to learn a new halacha today also, which I think we might have seen already. We actually did see this at some point. That you're not allowed to burn the shirayim. Okay? You're only allowed to burn the kmitza, not the shirayim. Okay? Because once something, some part of it, okay, that's going to be learned from a pasuk. I'm not sure if I brought it here. But if not, we'll find it in the Torah or hopefully. Here. Yeah, I did bring it somewhere. Yeah, if you look toward the bottom of your sheet, six lines from the bottom or seven lines, there's Vayikra Pasuk Be Pasuk Yud, Perek Be Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kol minchash yer takrivu la'ashem, lo te'aseh chametz, okay, minachot can't be chametz, ki kol su'or v'chol dvash, lo taktiru mimenu yishel la'ashem. Okay, this sounds like the pshat is, right, you cannot bring chametz, okay, any su'or dvash cannot be burned in the mizbeach yishel la'ashem. But they darshan, that last part that I underlined here, lo taktiru mimenu yishel Hashem, they darshan that once you put something on the fire, you cannot taktiru anything else. The yishel Hashem is once you burn part of it, the rest can't be burned. So once you burn the kmitza, the part that you were nikma, that you were kometz, you're not allowed to burn the shirayim, what's left of it. Okay, this is going to be a relevant halacha in a minute. Okay?
Doesn't the shirayim get left for the kohanim to eat?
The shirayim get left for the kohanim to eat, but we're going to see in a minute there's an issue here because now, who brings this mincha? This also we discussed, right? Who brings the mincha?
The husband.
Well, the husband brings it. The husband brings it for her. Now, this is going to create a bit of a problem because when it comes to regular menachot, what do? You do the kmitza. You burn the kmitza on the mizbeach, the shirayim, or the kohen eats. If you're a kohen and you bring a mincha, you burn the entire thing. So now we're going to have an issue, because if this mincha belongs to her, then we should do it the regular way. Kmitza, shirayim get eaten by the kohen. If it's his mincha, well then the whole thing gets burned and no one can eat anything. And now you're going to have a problem if you figured it out, because if we want to be machmir, lekanu, lekan, then maybe it's both. What would we do? Burn the whole thing. But you can't burn the whole thing because you have to take the kmitza. Once you take the kmitza, if you want to burn the shirayim separately, what's the problem? You're not allowed to burn the shirayim once you burnt the kmitza part. So, therefore, we're going to have an issue here. So that's what they're going to talk about soon. So, kohen esuot lekohanim. If you're married to a kohen, now here they're talking about a mincha that you would bring for the sota, okay? Minchotehen nisrafot. It goes like the kohen, because really the kohen's bringing the mincha. Okay, although we're going to see that it's not 100% clear cut. Bat Yisrael shenisait lekohen, minchatat nisrafet. If you're a Bat Yisrael who's married to a kohen, that's really the same thing we just said, then minchatat nisrafet. V'kohenet, shenisait liYisrael, if she's a bat kohen who's married to Yisrael, minchata ne'echelet. Then it's treated like a regular mincha. This we've seen in many cases, that a bat kohen, for many intents and purposes, is not really considered a kohen, right? Her status is changed when she gets married. Ma ben kohen lekohenet. Now we're going to have a list, okay? Here's chart number one. Okay, what I did on the charts is I wrote the Mishnah on the first two columns, both in this chart and the next chart. We're going to have all these comparisons. And the Gemara later is going to quote the Psukim that reference it all. So we'll go back when we get to the Gemara, back to the original chart, and we'll see the Psukim that it comes from. So right now we're not going to discuss the Psukim and where they get it from, because the Gemara is going to do that. Ma ben kohen lekohenet. Minchat kohenet ne'echelet, u'minchat kohen ena ne'echelet. Okay, the mincha of the kohen, of the bat kohen, the kohen will eat, right? Not her husband, right? Any kohen will eat the mincha, because that's the way a regular mincha goes. She goes by a regular Yisrael. Minchat kohen eina ne'echelet, but the mincha of a kohen does not get eaten, because we saw that pasuk, kalil, right? It all gets burned. Kalil tiyeh lo tocha. Kohenet mitchalelet, if a bat kohen sleeps with someone inappropriate, she becomes forbidden to marry a kohen. But a kohen ein mitchalel. This is one of these very problematic situations, that a kohen who marries a grusha, or someone he's not allowed to marry, he himself does not become a halal. His children become halalim, but he himself is not called a halal. Kohenet mitamal lemetim, she can be mitamal lemet, ve'en kohen mitamal lemetim, and he's not allowed to be. Kohen ochel b'kodshei kodashim, he gets to eat the kodshei kodshim, ve'en kohenet ochel b'kodshei kodshim. Okay, four differences. Okay, now we're going to see another list. Uma ben ish liisha. If already we're discussing differences between kohen and kohenet, what are differences between men and women? This obviously doesn't mean differences like, okay, the men are from Venus, right? Men are from Venus, women are from Mars. Opposite, right? Whatever. So now, ma ben ish liisha. Ha'ish porea uporem, ve'ein ha'isha porad uporemet. This is a mitzora. Okay, in a certain case, a mitzora has to rip his clothes, and she does not do that. Ha'ish madirat bino b'nazir ve'ein ha'isha madirat b'na. Some of these are going to be reviewed for us. Right? A husband is allowed to make his son into a nazir, but a woman is not allowed to make her son into a nazir. Ha'ish megalech al nazirut aviv. He can take, we had two different interpretations, but we'll go with one of them. He can take, if his father dies and he had already separated his korbanot, the son is allowed to take upon nazirut and continue the nazirut of his father. Right? The other interpretation was the opposite, was dafke if he took it together when they were alive, then he's allowed to do his korbanot when he's dead. Ve'ein ha'isha megalach al nazirut avia, but a woman can't do that with her father's nazirut. Ha'ish mekadesh et bito, he's allowed to marry off his daughter, and even against her will. Ve'ein ha'isha mekadesh et bita. Remember, that's the whole thing with miyun. If she does do it, right, the daughter's allowed to say, I'm not interested in this marriage when she gets to a certain age. Ha'ish, and also there's no kiddushin bidoraita for a woman, for her daughter. Ha'ish mocheret bito, ve'ein ha'isha mocheret et bita. If he wants to sell his daughter to be an ama ivriya, he's allowed to do that, but a mother is not allowed to do that to her daughter. Ha'ish niskal aron, ve'ein ha'isha niskelet aruma. We saw this with the skila, right? We strip him naked, but we don't strip the woman naked. Ha'ish nitla, ve'ein ha'isha nitlet. Okay, and there's two cases, a migadef and an overa vodazara, where after they stone them, they hang them. And they say that only the man is hung, but not the woman. There's actually a machloket about this. One opinion says that the man is hung facing the people, and the woman is hung with her back to the people. Other people, then this Mishnah obviously thinks she's not hung at all. Ha'ish nimkar b'gnevato, if he doesn't have the money, he steals something, and he doesn't have the money to pay it back, he gets sold into slavery. Ve'ein ha'isha nimkar b'gnevata, but she does not get sold into slavery. Okay, so again, I'm not getting into the details now. We're going to see this all when we get to the Gemara, where they get this from. Tana Rabbanan. Kol ha'nesuot l'kuna minchotehen nisrafot. Ketzad. How does this work? That anyone married to a kohen, their mincha is nisrafet. Kohenet Leviyah Yisraelit, and you say the Kohen, right? It doesn't matter what she is. If she's married to a Kohen, Ein min chatan echelet, b'pnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. He has some part of it, and therefore it can't get in. Ve'ena ola kalil, but, and this is what I raised before, it can't go up entirely like a regular minchat kohen, b'pnei sheyesh la chelek ba, because she has some part in it. And they're basically saying that this is a joint, okay? We're going to see later that even though it seems to be saying in the Gemara that it's joint, they really seem to be treating it as it's a suffix. We don't really know what to do with it. Do we say that the mincha is his and it gets burnt, or do we say that the mincha is hers and it gets eaten? So, Ella hakomet karev ba'atzmo, vashirayim krevim ba'atzman. Okay, so the kmitza, the part that we were komet, is karev ba'atzmo. And then the shirayim are krevim ba'atzman. So now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which I already led you to understand, which is, ikri kan kol shehu mimenu liyishim harehu b'bal taktiru. What do you mean? How can you say that we burn the komet and then we burn the shirayim? This is exactly what we learn. The kol shehu mimenu liyishim, that's where they get lo taktiru mimenu. Anything that's mimenu ishel Hashem, that from it was burned already, then the rest of it, lo taktiru. Okay, they kind of switch the order of the pasuk around, and they darshan really the word mimenu. Anything that came from it and it was burned, ishel Hashem, it was burned on a fire of God, then there's an iser of lo taktiru. Amar Yehuda, so here's going to be our answer now. Amar Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, maybe you'll remember this from when we learned it last time. Demasik lehu l'shum etzim. Okay, by the way, we learned this at the end of Yevamo. Okay? What does this mean? How do you burn the kmitza? I'm sorry, the shirayim. You're not really allowed to burn the shirayim, but there's different ways you could burn things. Technically speaking, it's the same, but the question is, what's your intent? If you burn it with the thought that you're just using it as twigs for the fire, okay, you're saying, it's not twigs, but you're using it to basically help the fire burn better. So you put the shirayim on the mizbeach and you say, my intent of putting these shirayim is really, what do you want? You just want them to get burned. But you say, I'm burning them, I'm putting them on the fire so that they can help the fire burn. And then it's allowed according to one opinion, Rabbi Eliezer. Titania, Rabbi Lezer Omer, L'rech nichoch iatama'aleh, aval atama'aleh ulishumetzim. This is one opinion. One opinion is, now you have to read the pasukim, so look at the very bottom of the page. Okay, so we read the pasuk of Lo taktir mimenu ishel Hashem. Now the pasuk right after, so if you look at that whole pasuk, okay, now we just look at the two pasukim at the bottom of the page here. In Vayikra Perek Be'er Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Kol mincha asher tekrivu la'Hashem, right? Any mincha domek echametz, right, because you cannot bring seor dvash on the mizbeach, right? That's what it seems to imply. The pshat. The next pasuk says, korban reshit takrivu otam la'Hashem, ve'al mizbeach lo ya'alu l'reach nichach. So then it says, now the pshat of this next pasuk is, there is one case where you're allowed to be makriv, this mincha, chametz, on the mizbeach. What is it? The shteh alechem, korban reshit, why reshit? It's the bikurim, right? The bikurim is your korban reshit, you bring the shteh alechem, and then it's telling you, lo ya'alu l'reach nichach, it doesn't get burned, the shteh alechem. We don't burn it on the mizbeach. So it's saying the exception to rule in pasuk yud aleph is pasuk yud bet. Okay, that's shteh alechem. But Rabbi Elezer darshens this pasuk differently. And what does he say? He says, no, it's not talking about the shteh alechem. It's saying, lo ya'alu l'reach nichach, that if it's referring to this, lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. You cannot remove, right, if something's already, part of it's been burned on the mizbeach, then the rest is not allowed to be burned. It lo ya'alu, but in what case can it be burned? If it's going l'reach nichach, if you're using it for the smell, or I don't know if it means exactly the smell, but to be burned for like a beautiful thing. But if you're using it just to make more fire, well, that's allowed. Okay? So, therefore, he says, L'rech nichachi atamale, ava atamale o l'shumitzim. So now they say, okay, very well. Ha nicha l'Rabbi Eliezer, d'eat lehai svara. So then, this works according to him. But, ela l'Rabbanan, d'leit lehuai svara. Rabbanan who don't agree with this and think that pasuk is talking about shtei alechem, it has nothing to do with this, and you cannot burn it at all. So what are you going to say? My amar leh. Da'avde lehu k'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. As to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. D'tanya, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon omer. Hakomets karev ba'atzmo, v'ashirayim mitpazrim al beit ha'deshen. Okay, so now you would say that he would have, what would you do with these shirayim? You would do like what Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says. Now, we're going to he's talking about a totally different case. I'm going to give you the context in a minute, but I'll just explain to you the bottom line, and then we'll go and understand the context of his statement. He said that what do? You sacrifice the komets. This is in a different situation, but it's got the same similar dilemma, okay? So you sacrifice it on the Mizbeach, the komets, and the shirayim you sprinkle on the Beit HaDeshen, which also had a fire going. It's a bit of a thing. Where exactly is the Beit HaDeshen? Is it by the kevesh of the ramp going up? Is it somewhere else? But it basically gets burned, but somewhere else, a little bit differently, and that's our solution. It kind of gets mitpazrim. Obviously, once it's mitpazer, it also burns. But it kind of burns in a different way. It maybe, like, eventually disappears. Now, what's he talking about? Okay, so to understand this, turn over your sheet that I made for the second side. Vayikra Perek Hei is a whole section about a Kohen who has to bring a Korban Olevi Yored. Okay, remember what an Olevi Yored is? Why does it say Olevi Yored? It depends on how wealthy you are and whether you can afford a nicer Korban or a less nice Korban. And this is a Korban Olevi Yored for a Chatat for a Kohen. Okay, or even, it's actually a Chatat for anybody. Okay, so Nefesh Ki Techta. Okay, there's three cases here that are brought up. Shama, or three or four. V'shama kol alav hu eid, o ra'ahu yadayim, lo yagiven osav ono. He sees some testimony, right? He's a witness to something, and he doesn't bring it to court. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh, o b'nivlat chayat tameh, o b'nivlat behemat tameh, o sheretz, etc. V'ne'alam imed avu tameh v'ashem. Okay, he brings, he's tameh, and then I think he... Now, what does he do here? He goes into the Azara. It doesn't really say that, but that's the assumption here. Or no, is that what it says? Right. The assumption is he goes into the Beit HaMikdash while he's Tameh. Okay? And then it goes on about more tumot here. Oh, Nefesh Kitu Shavah Lebatev Sfatayim Lahara Uleitiv. He makes a Shvuah LaSheker. Okay? Shvuah Sheker. And all these things he does by mistake. Okay? In other words, he didn't realize, and he does a mistake, that causes him to bring a korban chata. So then it says, okay, so if you do these, you have to bring an asham, you bring a nekevam and a tzon. Okay, I'm skipping to pasuk vav. Pasuk zayin, im lo tagia yado de se, then he brings shnei torim, right, he brings the birds. And here's the important pasuk, yud aleph. If he doesn't, im lo tasig yado l'shtei torim, or l'shtei b'nei yona, he can't afford birds. Ve'viyat korbano asher chata, asirita efa solet l'chatat. Okay, he brings a chatat. Now, what does it say about this chatat? He brings it to the Kohen, Kamatz Mimeno a Kohen, right? Same general thing about a Mincha. And then it says, V'nislach lo, and then it says the last three words, okay? They're underlined here in Pasuk Yugimel, V'haita la Kohen kim Mincha. So very strange words. We don't exactly know what this means. They basically say that, what does this mean? It means that the Kohen, if he has, let's say a Kohen did one of these things, it's called a chatat, right? How do they call it? Minchat chote of a Kohen. So if a Kohen now has to bring a minchat chote, so it says here, Vaitala Kohen kemincha, which sounds like he brings, right? So now there's going to be a three-way machloket. How do we understand this? Okay, so let's just look before we explain. Look in the Gemara Menachot, okay, on Ayin Gimel Amud Bet. I quoted on the sheet here, after the Psukim. Umani mekayem bincho minchat kohen kalil lo tochal, minchat nidvato, aval chovato tein echelet. Do we say that when it says that any mincha b'kohen goes up, now generally minachot were brought as a nidava, you would bring a korban mincha, you'd say I want to bring a mincha, you would bring it, or it would come alongside a korban nidava. But what about if you're bringing a mincha as a chova, because you did a chatat, there's this one case with the chatat where it becomes a chova. So maybe chovato tein echelet, Talmud lomar, v'haita l'kohen kimincha. Okay, therefore it tells you, no, the words v'haita l'kohen kimincha means a Kohen brings it, when he brings a minchat chote, it's just like all his other minachot. So even though the psukim of the minchat chote said it has to be burned, you know, and the Kohen eats the rest, not so. V'haita l'kohen kimincha means not so for the minchat chote of a Kohen. Okay, that's opinion number one. Amar Rabbi Shimon, v'chine emar v'aitala kohen kiminchato. It doesn't say it should be for the kohen like his mincha. It just says v'aitala kohen kimincha. V'alolonim arela kimincha. So what does he say? Elala kish mincha chotei shel kohanim kimincha chotei shel Yisrael. It's saying no. V'aitala kohen kimincha means it's exactly like the mincha of the Yisrael. And that's what the pasuk means. Ma minchat chotei shel Yisrael nikmetzet, ad minchat chotei shel kohanim nikmetzet. Okay, and that's what he says. So therefore, he says basically, so then, if that's the case, and shiaran echalim, so maybe you would think these are also, so he says, no, no, no. La kohen kimincha means la kohen kimincha v'lo kishim kimincha. Haketzad, so how do you do this? Hakometz karev ba'atzmo, v'shirayim krevim ba'atzmam. So he says, you're in this middle position where both of them get burned. Okay? But now, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, he's the most important. The Gemara after that, Machlok, that Braita quotes another Braita. And there it quotes a Braita, not with Tanakhama's opinion, just the Rav Shimon's opinion. And then it brings a third opinion, which is, in order to resolve this issue, because then the Shirayim craving Batzman would obviously be a problem with this. You'd have to, right, Rav Shimon holds that there's no problem burning. He holds, right, L'reach Nichach, it's a problem, not L'shemetzim. But if you don't hold that, then you have another problem. So he says, so what we have here is the exact same situation, where on the one hand, the Kohen in this case is treated, just like the Minchat Sota, like a Yisrael, because the Minchat Sota also comes from the woman, in which case the Shiraim, you have to do the Komets and leave the Shiraim. On the other hand, we have this La Kohen Ki Mincha, it's still a Mincha B'Kohen, so how can you do it? So therefore, there's two options. Either you burn the whole thing, just you do the Kmitza and you burn the whole thing like we saw in our Mishnah, our Gemara, but you would only be able to do that if you hold that you're allowed to burn something Mimenu, right? Mimenu Yishal Hashem. So if you don't hold that, then we have this other opinion, which says the Shirayim Mitpazrim Al-Beit HaDeshen, and that's okay because they're not burned in the same way, and that would be sufficient. So they say, just like we had the same dilemma elsewhere, we'll answer that same question, right? We'll give that same opinion here. Okay, so that was the complicated part of today's stuff. The rest is easy. Okay, so everybody follows that? Make sure it's clear? Okay. So now, they're going to say one last thing here, which is, afilu Rabbanan. Now, Rabbanan there had a machloket, right? They disagreed, and they thought that in the mincha of the Kohen, right, what did we say? That it's treated, right? That it's, he can't eat it at all, right? The whole thing has to be burned in that case. Afilu Rabbanan lo plige aleidu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon ela b'minchat chotei shel kohanim debata kravahi. Only in the Minchat Chotev Kohanim de Chachamim disagree. Tanakhama there wouldn't say the same thing in our case. Because there, the Minchat Kohen is Bat HaKrava. It's really a Korban, right? It's not the same as a Mincha here. That's a real Korban. He can't bring the Korban because he can't afford it, so he brings this. Ela Beha, but in our case, Afila Rabbanan would be Modeh, that this is what he would do. That you would still have to burn the rest of it, right? You know, you treat it as both. You wouldn't be able to say it's all... it all gets burned, either you'd have to come up with some middle ground here. Okay, now we're going to go through our list one by one. So go back to the first side of the sheet, follow in the chart. We're going to go one by one to all these, the four things, Ma Bein Kohen, the Kohanet, what are the sources? And then the nine things, Ma Bein Ish Lisha. And we're going to basically just quote Psukim. Okay, this is again always begs the question. Okay, we're not going to get into this for time purposes, but it begs the question of, were they really darshing this directly from the Psukim? Or did they have some other, like certainly with some of them it's quite obvious that, you know, for example, Niskal Arom, right, we have a Tzniut issue here, and therefore they're going to paskin that it doesn't apply to women, or, you know, where there's some sort of, maybe they don't want women to be sold as slaves, and therefore she's not Nimkar B'Gnevato, you know, maybe B'Gnevata, you know, maybe you could see behind some of these reasons there's some other motivating factor. You'd have to look each one exactly, but I think that you can probably come up with theories as to that really there was a motivating factor that they wanted to exclude women from these halachot, and they found sources in the Psukim, because we're going to see that many times it says just men in the Pasuk, because generally the Hebrew language works in the masculine form, right? That's the way they say things. And it includes women. And other times it's going to exclude women, okay? One good example is Kol HaEzrach. In certain cases, they say kol hazrach includes women, and in other cases, they kol hazrach excludes women. They take the exact same words in different contexts, and they say, well, that excludes, that includes, because obviously it's not really learned directly from the pasuk. It's just a way of connecting it to a pasuk to remember as a mnemonic or other reasons that we talked about. Bat Yisrael HaNisua. My time, so why is her minchatan not eaten? So this we already know, right? Amarkra, v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. Right, that's why the kohen's mincha is not ne'achelet, but the kohenet is ne'achelet. Because chol minchat kohen lo te'achel, kohen velo kohenet. Next one. Kohenet mitchalelet, kohen en mitchalel. Why is the kohen not mitchalel? Minalan, amarkra, velo yechalel zar'o ba'amav. Says, if you do this, your zera will, or don't do this so that you're not mechalel your zera, which seems to imply that zera mechalel, but who ain't no mechalel, that your zera becomes a chalel, but you not. Kohenet mitam'a, my taima, why does she become tamei lemed and not the kohen, and the kohen can't? Because the pasuk says, and more elakonim b'nei aharon, so b'nei aharon v'lo b'not aharon. Right, that's the pasuk that says, lo yitamei be'amav. Kohen ochel b'kodshei kodeshim, dichtiv. Kol zachar b'vnei Aaron yochlenu. Again, it says kol zachar. Here it even says zachar. Yes.
I know we're late, but b'nei is often.
That's exactly what I said. It's exactly what I said. B'nei could include women also. Yes, but that's why I said it's clearly not that they derived it from here.
Yes.
It's just they're trying to connect it to a pasuk, and this is a good way to remember it. Or it's also just the way they work is when you want to prove something, if you can prove from a pasuk, I always like to say it's klalei mischak, right? That's the rules of the game. You know, prove it from a pasuk and you have much stronger proof. Uma ben ish, lisha. Okay, now we start with all those. Tana Rabbanan. Ish ein li, ela ish. Isha minayin. Okay, so now we're going to darshan these pasukim from Sarat. Okay, look in the very, okay, sorry that you have to keep flipping. It was hard to put all this in the same place. At the very last thing on the sheet, on the second side, is these psukim from Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel of Sarat. Ish tsarua hu tamei, yitameinu akohen birosho nigo. I actually didn't have time to look up why there's this hu tamei. I don't understand the duplicity here. But that's not our issue. Our issue is it says, ish tsarua, and then it says, v'hatsarua asher bohanega. Okay, which sounds to include like everybody, right? Okay, I forgot to mention this in the Mishnah. It's two things. It's also that your clothes get ripped and your rosh should be parua, meaning you should let your hair, I think you can't cut your hair, I think is the issue of how they explain it. Okay, so I think the general explanation, I just want to double check, the rosho parua is that he can't cut his hair. Right, he grows his hair. Okay, when he's at Mitzori, he's not allowed to cut his hair. Okay, so now, what do they say here? Ish, en li ala ish. From the first pasuk, it sounds like only a man has to do these things. Isha minayin, kishu omer, batzarua sherbo, hare kan shnayim. So there it seems to imply hatzarua, sherbo anega, right? All these things would apply to shnayim. So im ke, mata mulomar ish. L'inyan shalamata, ish parea, v'ena isha, etc. So what do they say? Isha shared tsarua hu tamei. It's actually, they flip the psukim, really. That the general thing of tsarad applies both to men and to women. That we get from hatsarua asher bo anega, that it includes both men and women. But the second part of that, gadav yufrumim, rosho yeh parua, they take the ish from the first pasuk and apply it to the second pasuk, and only the man. Okay, where again, clearly here, this isn't the pshat, but what are they saying? It also makes more sense that the woman shouldn't have the ripped clothes and her hair shouldn't be uncovered. Okay. By the way, I got a question. Someone asked me a question by email. Someone listening to the shir, which I have to look up, I haven't looked it up yet, asked me about in Makot, it comes up the same thing about when you give the lashes, you also strip the person, like you pull his clothes, the same way the sota got her clothes pulled and teared off. And it doesn't talk there about the issue of men seeing her and all that. So someone asked me, why is there that distinction? So I have to look it up. But I was thinking that all these are connected, this concept of, is the woman different in these situations? Is she treated differently? Is she not? And there it doesn't seem to distinguish. So it's a good question why it doesn't distinguish there. I have to look it up. I'll get back to you about it. It just came in last night, so I didn't have a chance to look it up. Okay. Ish madir b'no. Okay, now we're up to ha'ish madir b'no b'nazir ve'ein ha'isha maderet b'na b'nazir. So now we have things we learned already, which is Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha hi b'nazir. Okay, it's halacha l'mosh misinai. Ha'ish megaleach al nazirut aviv ve'ein ha'isha megaleach al nazirut aviyah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha hi b'nazir. Now, if you remember, there were two opinions there. Rish Lakish didn't say it was halacha hi b'nazir, but if you remember there was a clear Clearly, the Gemara was showing in that case that we hold like it sided toward Rabbi Yochanan. That we really hold like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rish Lakish, and that's why the Gemara here seems to be only chooses to quote Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, and all those cases there were many of them, and he just said, "Oh, very simply, it's halacha l'moshe misinai."
If you're with Chana, she made her son a
nazir. Right,
we tell her here.
Right. So we talked about that there, right? You remember? I don't remember what we said about it.
There was a note here also about Hannah, how could she do that? And they say actually that she, her vow was that she would convince her husband.
Uh-huh, right. Obviously, that's where they're going to go with it. They're going to try to, give a... Also, what's also interesting, we discussed this then, that the Manoach also is the Eshet Manoach who the Malach comes to.
The two times we actually see that.
Right, we discussed, when we saw it there, the doc of the two cases where someone turns their son into a Nazir are women. And yet here we say it's not. So it's interesting. Ha'ish makadeshet bito ve'ein ha'isha makadeshet et bita. Dechtiv, et biti natati la'ish hazeh. Okay, and there we have a pasuk, right? This is...
which doesn't actually prove anything. Et biti, anybody
Oh, no, because the being... Okay, right, you're right. The beginning of the pasuk is... Right, it's... Here, 1 second. It's frame kaf bet tet zayin. One second, I want to open it inside. You missed it, I know. But I want to see the context, I forget. Right now it's eluding me what the context is there. Where is it? What pasuk?
Kaf bet tetzayin.
Tetzayin. Okay. So this is okay. This is a motzi shemra. Okay. A person starts to say, "Oh, ha'isha zot lakachti and lo matzati la betulim, and I didn't find her dam betulim." So v'lakach avia na'ara v'ima. Votziu, here the mother's, notice, the mother's there. Votziu et betuleana ara el zeknea yirashara. They bring out the sheet with the blood on it, presumably, right? Some sign that she was a betula. Va'amara viana ara lazkenim. And then the father says, and maybe because the mother appear again, whether you really derive it from here or not is a separate question, but you could say, aviana ara anima. This is why you always have to look up the psukim inside. Mm-hmm. First, the aviana ara anima are both there. But then it says, the father says, epitina tati lisha zelisha. I married her off. Okay, meaning he can do it and not the mother. But again, you don't necessarily, that could be in this situation. He's the one who says it. It doesn't mean that he's the only one who could have married her. Ha'ish mocher bito ve'ein ha'isha mocheret et bita. Dichtiv, ki yimkor isha bito. The pasuk says, when a father sells his daughter, right, which again, could be just the typical way that it was done. Doesn't mean the mother can't do it. But again, I'm not saying I disagree with the halacha. I'm saying that the pshat of the pasuk doesn't necessarily indicate this, but, you know, that's the rabbis have the power to basically darshan them. Ha'ish niskalaro, my taima, biragmu oto, my oto, ilema oto velota. Okay, biragmu oto, this is with the mikalel. This was the mikalel. Okay, this is the guy who curses God. So he then, they take him out, and ragmu oto kola eda. So they say, maybe you would think oto velota, that a woman wouldn't get skila for this. V'haktiv, votzete eti ishahu ota ishahi. Okay, and in Dvarim Yud Zayin, it says, if somebody does this, then you take them out, either the man or the woman, which seems to say she does get skila. So what do they say? There must be some other difference between otova ota, and what's that? El oto belo ksuto, velo ota belo ksuta. Okay, last two. Ha'ish nitlev ein eisha, my taima, amarkav etalita oto aleitz. Oto velo ota, right? He gets hung, not her. Ha'ish nimkar b'gnevato, v'ein eisha nimkar b'gnevata, my taima, amarkav, v'nimkar b'gnevato. Again, it says b'gnevato v'lo b'gnevata. Hadron alachayanotel. Tomorrow we start a new parent.